Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. I am your guide through the shadowed corners of reality, where tales are not just tales, and the line between the living and the dead blurs. Tonight, we journey to a village where traditions are not mere customs, but lifelines. Lean in closer, feel the chill in the air, and let's venture into the haunted heart of Red Hollow. The first blush of dawn painted the sky in hues of gold and amber, casting a serene glow over the village of Red Hollow. It was a place where cobblestone streets meandered like ancient rivers, their edges lined with maple and oak trees bursting in a riot of reds, oranges, and yellows. Each house, built with gray stones and crowned with thatched roofs, exuded an old-world charm. As the village awoke, the aroma of baked bread wafted through the air from Mrs. Thatcher's bakery, mingling with the musky scent of fallen leaves. The streets were alive with villagers bustling about, their faces radiant in the anticipation of the impending festivities. Amidst the village square, a group gathered around old Mr. Langley, the town's elder, who sat on his usual bench, a gnarled walking stick by his side. "Do you youngsters even realize the significance of tonight's feast?" Mr. Langley's voice was deep and gravelly, like the sound of rolling thunder in the distance. Young Lucas, with his mop of curly brown hair, piped up, "It's just a tradition, right? To feed the wandering ghosts." Mr. Langley leaned in, eyes scanning the faces around him. "It's more than just a tradition, lad. It's a promise we made to the Forgotten Ones. We feed their memories as much as we feed the spirits." A hush fell upon the group. Emma, Lucas's elder sister, her auburn hair tied back in a neat bun, asked, "But what happens if we ever forget?" There was a certain tremor in the air as the wind blew colder and the leaves rustled in eerie chorus. "The old tales speak of retribution," whispered Mr. Langley, his eyes holding a glint of something unsaid. "The forgotten do not take kindly to being overlooked." Lucas gulped, his playful demeanor replaced by a shadow of concern. "But we've never forgotten, have we?" Across the square, Mrs. Thatcher emerged from her bakery, her arms laden with trays of fresh pumpkin pies. "No, dear," she assured the boy. "Red Hollow has always honored the spirits, and we always will." The streets of Red Hollow soon echoed with the soft hum of activity, as stalls were set up and decorations adorned every doorway, window, and tree. Wreaths of marigolds, lanterns glowing with amber light, and intricately carved pumpkins were a testament to the town's dedication. As evening approached, the sun set, casting long, spectral shadows, transforming the village into a magical realm. Children giggled, running about in their costumes, as families and friends gathered in homes, exchanging tales of Halloween's past, the air thick with the mingled scents of roasted chestnuts and spiced cider. The night was alive with memories, anticipation, and the unwavering belief that Red Hollow's promise to the Forgotten would always be kept. The sun was high in the sky the next morning when a loud, resonant bell began to toll from the neighboring village of Green Glade. The sound echoed across the valley, capturing the attention of every Red Hollow resident. Soon, a vibrantly colored poster arrived, carried by a young messenger. It depicted a grand fair, the annual Green Glade Harvest Festival, which was to be bigger and better than ever before. This was no ordinary fair. It was said that this year, in addition to the usual games, food stalls, and performances, there was to be a special appearance by Lord Alistair, a nobleman of great repute. His impending visit had everyone talking, for he was a figure admired by many, not just for his vast riches, but also for his charm and charisma. Lord Alistair in Green Glade. "Just imagine," Mrs. Thatcher exclaimed, her eyes wide in amazement, as she discussed the news with her regular customers. Lucas, eager at the prospect of seeing the grandeur that accompanied such nobility, tugged at Emma's sleeve. "Can we go, Emma? It sounds so exciting." She chuckled, ruffling his hair. "We'll see. But remember, we have our own preparations to tend to." However, as the news of the fair spread, Red Hollow's usual fervor for Halloween started to wane. Conversations shifted from the feast for the wandering spirits to what one would wear to the festival, or what treats the stalls at Green Glade might offer. The village council, usually the primary overseer of the Halloween festivities, found itself ensnared in the allure of the neighboring event. They deliberated over sending a formal delegation to welcome Lord Alistair, and even perhaps inviting him to visit Red Hollow. Amidst this whirlwind of excitement, the preparations for the feast were forgotten. As days blended into nights, everyone assumed that someone else, perhaps a neighbor or another family, was handling the arrangements. The once unshakable tradition began to fade from the collective consciousness of the village, replaced by the glittering distractions of the external world. In the corners of Red Hollow, the old trees seemed to rustle a bit more, the winds whispered with an urgent tone, and the very ground seemed to hum with a restless energy. But amidst the anticipation of the fair, no one noticed the subtle changes in the world around them. The dusk of Halloween in Red Hollow painted the horizon with rich shades of purple and pink, the sun bidding farewell and giving way to a crescent moon. The village streets, usually brimming with festive preparations, displayed a more subdued ambience this year. Yet, the excitement of the children, adorned in their Halloween costumes, was undiminished. Witches with pointy hats, knights with shimmering armor, and little fairies with wings flitted from door to door, their laughter echoing in the chilly air. Lanterns hanging from porches and windowsills cast a warm, golden glow, making the cobblestones shimmer. The comforting aroma of burning wood wafted from chimneys, a signal that households were gathering around hearths, sharing stories and treats. Amid the festivities, the village square, where the annual feast for the wandering spirits was usually laid out, remained conspicuously barren. The large wooden table, which every year groaned under the weight of offerings, stood solitary and untouched. Emma, making her way through the square with Lucas in tow, halted in her tracks upon seeing the empty table. "How could we have forgotten?" she whispered, a sinking feeling in her chest. Lucas, looking up at his sister with wide eyes, murmured, "Do you think they'll come anyway?" As the hours slipped by and the clock tower loomed over the village, the festivities continued. The oversight of the feast seemed to have gone unnoticed by many, or perhaps they chose to remain blissfully ignorant, trusting that the responsibility lay with someone else. But as the clock struck midnight, a cold breeze swept through Red Hollow, extinguishing many of the lanterns and plunging parts of the village into darkness. The laughter and music that had filled the air moments before were now replaced by an uneasy silence. At the village square, shadows seemed to gather around the empty table. Whispers of disappointment, faint but clear, resonated through the night. It was as if the very air was heavy with the weight of unfulfilled expectations. Emma, standing at the edge of the square, clutched Lucas close. "We should have remembered," she said, her voice trembling. And as the echoes of the midnight chime faded, an unsettling realization settled upon Red Hollow. The promise, a tradition so sacred and steadfast, had been broken. The consequences of that oversight loomed large in the cold, still night. As dawn broke over Red Hollow the next day, an eerie stillness hung in the air. The usual chirping of birds was conspicuously absent, replaced by an oppressive silence. Mrs. Thatcher, always the first to rise and light the ovens for her bakery, noticed the first oddity, her trusted weather vane, which had always accurately predicted the direction of the wind, spun erratically, pointing first one way, then another. Throughout the village, people began to emerge from their homes, rubbing sleep from their eyes and discussing the festivities from the night before. But as they exchanged stories, a shared unease became apparent. "I could have sworn I saw someone standing outside my window last night," said Mr. Fenton, the village blacksmith, as he adjusted the sign outside his shop. "But when I went to check, no one was there." "You too," chimed in Ms. Alina, the librarian. "All morning, I've been catching glimpses of figures at the edge of my vision. But when I turn to look, they vanish." And she wasn't alone. Throughout Red Hollow, residents whispered of similar sightings. Even the children, usually immune to the worries of adults, felt the tension. Their games, typically boisterous and full of laughter, were more subdued, often interrupted by hesitant glances over shoulders. The day, although clear and without a cloud in sight, was punctuated by intermittent gusts of cold wind that seemed to come from nowhere, sending leaves swirling in mini-cyclones and causing shutters to bang against window frames. But the most chilling occurrence was reported by those living at the outer edges of Red Hollow. They spoke of a mournful wail, distant yet distinct, that seemed to emanate from the woods beyond the village. It was a sound that tugged at the heartstrings, evoking a deep sense of sorrow and longing. Emma, after hearing the reports, felt a knot of dread in her stomach. "We've awakened something," she whispered to Lucas as they walked towards the village square. "We've upset the balance." Lucas nodded, clutching the edge of his sister's cloak. "Do you think they're angry?" Emma looked down at him, her face a mask of worry. "I'm not sure, but we need to make things right." The day wore on, but the sense of unease in Red Hollow only grew stronger. As night approached, the village, usually a beacon of warmth and light, seemed to brace itself for what might come from the shadows. The nights in Red Hollow were never truly dark, always lit by starlight or the gentle glow of the moon. But this night was different. A heaviness seemed to press down, making lantern flames flicker and sputter. An undercurrent of anticipation ran through the village, electric and undeniable. As night deepened, figures began to materialize. Faint at first, they grew more defined, taking on human shapes. Spirits of men, women, and children, each clothed in attire from various eras, moved silently through the streets. Their expressions ranged from deep sorrow to burning fury. They were the forgotten, those who had suffered in life, only to be starved of recognition and death. Little Emily, a 7-year-old with braided golden hair, woke up to the sound of sobbing. Sitting at the foot of her bed was a young girl, her face stained with tears, dressed in rags reminiscent of a time long past. Emily, though startled, felt a strange pull towards the spirit. "Why are you crying?" she whispered. The spirit looked up, her eyes pools of eternal sadness. "I was forgotten," she replied, her voice barely audible. And then, just as suddenly, she vanished, leaving Emily clutching her blanket, heart racing. Across the village, similar encounters were unfolding. Spirits manifested in homes, causing objects to levitate before dropping them abruptly. Pets, usually docile, hissed and growled at unseen entities, their hackles raised. In the heart of Red Hollow, the village library stood as a beacon of knowledge and history. Ms. Alina, the librarian, after hearing of the disturbances, dived into old records and manuscripts, searching for answers. Hours went by until, beneath a stack of dusty books, she found an old leather-bound journal. Its pages yellowed with age held an account from centuries prior, eerily similar to their current predicament. The feast forgotten, the spirits rise. Seeking acknowledgement, they roam the skies. To appease the forgotten, to calm their ire. A grand feast must be laid, or face their fire. As Ms. Alina read aloud to the gathered council members, the weight of their oversight became painfully clear. They had stirred a force that had lain dormant, waiting for recognition. "We need to make amends," murmured the village mayor, his usual confidence replaced by worry. "Yes," Ms. Alina replied, "before the wrath of the forgotten consumes Red Hollow." The spirits, once ethereal and elusive, grew bolder with each passing hour. Their forms, now more distinct, conveyed their dissatisfaction and fury. They glided through the streets, their presence chilling the air, causing even the bravest of Red Hollow's residents to shudder. Mr. Fenton, the blacksmith, who had been among the most distracted by the allure of the Green Glade Festival, found his forge inexplicably cold. No matter how hard he stoked the flames, they refused to ignite. Then, without warning, his tools took on a life of their own, flying across the room, narrowly missing him. In the center of the village, the council chambers, usually a place of order and decorum, descended into chaos. The spirits seemed particularly aggrieved with the council members who had been preoccupied with the neighboring village's events. Papers flew into the air, chairs toppled over, and the large oak doors slammed shut on their own, trapping the council members inside. Outside, the land itself seemed to rebel. Fields of golden wheat and lush vegetables, ready for harvest, withered and turned to ash within moments. Livestock, vital to the village sustenance, grew agitated, refusing to be calmed. But the most alarming change was the fog. It rolled in swiftly, a dense, icy mist that reduced visibility to mere inches. It blanketed Red Hollow, turning familiar pathways into confusing labyrinths, and making every shadow seem menacing. Panic gripped the villagers. Huddled in their homes, they whispered of past wrongs and speculated about the wrath of the forgotten. The tales from the night of Halloween, which many had brushed off as children's nightmares, now took on a haunting reality. In the Thatcher household, Emma and Lucas lit candles, their small flames flickering in the cold draft. "We need to find a way to appease them," Emma murmured, her voice filled with determination. Lucas nodded, his face pale. But how? The feast was forgotten. A knock at the door startled them. Opening it, they found Ms. Alina clutching the old journal. "There may be a way," she began, her eyes reflecting the gravity of their situation, "but it will require the entire village to come together, to acknowledge and rectify the oversight." The realization was clear. Red Hollow's salvation lay in understanding its past, and making amends for the broken promise. The spirits demanded recognition, and the village would have to give it, or risk being lost to the anger of the forgotten. The town hall of Red Hollow, with its sturdy stone walls and arched windows, had witnessed countless gatherings over the years. but none as urgent as this. Villagers, their faces lined with worry, crowded into the hall, the flickering light from lanterns casting long shadows on the walls. The mayor, a stout man with a graying beard, stood at the front, trying to bring order to the restless crowd. "We need to find a solution," he began, his voice firm, "and we need to do it together." Ms. Aliner, clutching the age journal, stepped forward. The murmurs hushed as all eyes turned to her. "Centuries ago," she began, "Red Hollow faced a similar crisis. This journal," she held it up for all to see, "details that dark time and offers a glimmer of hope." She read aloud the verses that hinted at a resolution, emphasizing the need for a grand feast and sincere repentance. A murmur ran through the crowd. The weight of their collective negligence pressed down on them, but so did a burgeoning hope. If they had caused this by forgetting their tradition, then they could also mend it. "Every family must contribute," the mayor announced. "We need to prepare a feast grander than any we've ever had. And it's not just about the food. It's about our intent, our genuine remorse." As plans were laid out, a sense of unity emerged. Neighbors who hadn't spoken in years exchanged nods, children were put to tasks, and even the elderly offered their wisdom. Families pledged to provide their best produce, livestock, and recipes that had been passed down through generations. Emma and Lucas, along with other young members of the village, were given the responsibility of creating an ambience that resonated with respect and honor for the forgotten spirits. They gathered flowers, arranged seating, and even planned a musical tribute. As hours turned into night, Red Hollow transformed. The heart of the village, once consumed by icy fog and desolation, now buzzed with activity and determination. The wooden table, which had stood barren on the night of Halloween, was now being adorned with intricate carvings, representing symbols of remembrance and repentance. Despite the looming threat, a spark of hope ignited in the hearts of the villagers. United in their endeavor, they were determined to face the forgotten spirits, not with fear, but with a sincere desire to amend their mistakes. The outskirts of Red Hollow, a serene meadow fringed by the dense woods, was a place where children usually played and lovers whispered secrets. Tonight, it was to be the stage for Red Hollow's most crucial act of redemption. Tables laden with food stretched across the meadow. Pies filled with the juiciest berries, stews simmering with tender meats, freshly baked loaves of bread, and jugs filled with aromatic cider bore testament to the villagers' dedication. Every dish, meticulously prepared, carried the essence of tradition and heartfelt regret. But it wasn't just about the food. The area was adorned with lanterns, their soft glow illuminating the night. Hand-stitched banners, representing unity and remembrance, fluttered gently in the breeze. As the clock's hands inched closer to midnight, the villagers, dressed in their finest yet somber attire, began to gather. Emma, her face reflecting the soft lantern light, urged Lucas and the other children to join the circle that was forming. Each villager held a small, white candle, its flame a symbol of hope in the enveloping darkness. As they joined hands, forming an unbroken circle around the feast, the village elder, Mr. Langley, stepped forward. With a deep breath, he began to sing an ancient song, one passed down through countless generations, but rarely sung. Its melody was haunting, its words a tapestry of sorrow, apology, and a plea for forgiveness. As the villagers joined in, their collective voices rose into the night, creating a harmony that echoed through the woods and hills. The sincerity of their regret, the genuine desire for reconciliation, was evident in every note. The cold, which had been ever present since the spirit's unrest, began to recede. The fog that had blanketed the village started to lift, revealing the shimmering forms of the spirits. Drawn to the feast and the raw emotion of the song, they began to materialize, their forms clearer than ever before. Men, women, and children from eras gone by stood at the periphery, watching and listening. Emma, her voice unwavering, locked eyes with the spirit of the young girl she had seen crying. There was no sadness now, only a silent plea for understanding. As the song reached its climax, the boundary between the living and the spirits seemed to blur, bound by shared history, pain, and the hope of reconciliation. The night, once fraught with tension, now held the promise of healing. In the midst of the gathering, a figure, taller and more defined than the others, emerged. His attire, though faded, spoke of a time when he might have been a person of importance in the village. His eyes, deep and searching, surveyed the scene before him, the villagers, their faces etched with hope and remorse, and the bountiful feast laid out in honor of the forgotten. The mayor, sensing the significance of this spirit, stepped forward, his posture both respectful and firm. "We have failed in our duty," he began, his voice carrying the weight of the entire village's regret. "But we stand here tonight, seeking forgiveness and understanding." The spirit, in a voice that seemed to echo from the very depths of time, replied, "For centuries, we have watched over Red Hollow. All we sought was remembrance, a simple acknowledgement that we once walked these lands, loved, laughed, and lived." He continued, "The feast was not just sustenance for us, but a symbol of respect, a beacon that assured us our existence mattered. When that beacon dimmed, our pain and sorrow knew no bounds." The mayor, tears forming in his eyes, said, "We understand the gravity of our oversight. On behalf of Red Hollow, I pledge that such negligence will never happen again. Our traditions will be passed down, and your memories will forever be honored." The spirit, his gaze softening, nodded. "Your sincerity is evident. The bond between our worlds is built on trust and respect. It is our hope that this bond remains unbroken." As the first rays of dawn began to pierce the horizon, a wondrous sight unfolded. The spirits, drawn to the feast, began to partake. They didn't eat in the way the living did, but rather absorbed the essence of the offerings, their forms glowing brighter with each passing moment. The villagers watched in silent awe, their hearts filled with gratitude and relief. As the sun climbed higher, casting its golden warmth over the meadow, the spirits began to fade. One by one, they vanished, leaving behind a village forever changed, bound by a renewed promise to honor and remember. Emma, holding Lucas's hand, whispered, "We've mended the bond. They're at peace now." Lucas squeezed her hand in response, his eyes bright with understanding and hope. "And so are we." The days that followed were a blend of relief and reflection for the villagers of Red Hollow. Life resumed its usual rhythm, children played in the streets, farmers tended to their fields, and the familiar sound of Mrs. Thatcher's bakery filled the mornings. Yet, there was an underlying change, a newfound reverence that permeated every corner of the village. Where the grand feast had taken place, the villagers decided to erect a memorial. A simple yet elegant stone monument, it bore the inscription, "In honor of those who walked before us. Your memory will forever light our path." It stood as a constant reminder of the bond between the living and those who had passed. The mayor, with unanimous support from the council, decreed that two feasts would henceforth be held every year. The first, on the eve of Halloween, would be a time of reflection and gratitude. The second, on Halloween night, would honor the spirits, ensuring they were never forgotten again. As years turned to decades, the story of that fateful Halloween, the night the spirits sought recognition, was passed down. Parents told their children, teachers imparted the tale to their students, and the village elder, Mr. Langley, ensured it became a part of Red Hollow's folklore. The vengeance of the forgotten was not a tale of fear, but one of respect, understanding, and the deep bonds that tie generations together. Emma, now a mother herself, would often sit with Lucas and her children by the fireside. As the flames danced and cast shadows on the walls, she would recount the events of that night, emphasizing the importance of traditions and the respect owed to those who came before. The tale ended, always, with a promise, one that every child of Red Hollow took to heart, to remember, to honor, and to always keep the bond alive. In the heart of the village, the monument stood tall, bearing silent witness to a promise renewed, a bond unbroken, and a village that had learned the true meaning of remembrance. As dawn breaks and the shadows recede, we find ourselves at the crossroads of the known and the unknown. Red Hollow's tale is a reminder that the past is never truly gone, and some bonds, once broken, demand to be mended. Thank you for joining us on this chilling journey on our scary stories. Until next time, dear listeners, remember, the tales we share are not just stories, but echoes from the other side. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.